Welcome to Fatima and the Family, a joint presentation of EWTN and the Fatima Family Apostolate. This apostolate was founded at the encouragement of the Pontifical Council for the Laity. And now the director and founder of the apostolate, and your host for Fatima and the Family, Father Robert J. Fox.
Welcome to the Fatima Family Apostolate, and we are so happy to have Tim and Mary Angerser from Minnesota, Spring Valley, Minnesota, back with us. And in this here book, which is made up largely of lectures that have been given at our national Fatima Family Congresses, however, there is one chapter in here written by fathers of families. And Tim, you wrote one of the chapters of fathers. And when I was typing that chapter into my booklet, especially the place where you lost a little child premature, and then you went and planted the bleeding heart plant over the grave, tears were coming down, and I knew that I could never have written that chapter on fathers. You know, first of all, I was going to have just one chapter by one father, and the ones on mothers, they came in right away. But to get the chapters from fathers, like pulling hen's teeth. And then I said, I gave up. I said, I have to write one myself on St. Joseph. And all three of the fathers, within 2 days, all the chapters came in, and I read all three of them. They were so good. I said, they all have to go into this book. Mm-hmm. And if for nothing else, the chapters on fatherhood would be worth the book. And I've often said, if every Catholic family in the United States could read this book from the heart, it would solve the crisis, and take it seriously, prayerfully, it would solve the crisis of family life today. And you know, we hear so much today in regard to Colossians 3:18, where St. Paul says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. I'm going to ask you, Mary, to try that one. What do you think that means?
I think for some people it's very easy, and for other people it's quite difficult. I am sort of a strong-willed little woman, and so it's harder for me to take this to heart. And yet I do believe it, and I try very hard to be submissive. Now, submission is not, you know, blind obedience. It's submission is being able as a wife to express the inner insights that God gives you after you've prayed about something to your husband, and sharing with him how come when you're making a decision you think you ought to make it a certain way. And then if there's a disagreement, then saying, well, he's the head of the family, and to let him make that decision.
She does argue with you now and then.
Just now and then.
Okay, I believe I know what you're saying, because you're two mature individuals, you have to discuss. But if it finally comes to a point where you can't get an agreement, his position rules, is that what you're saying?
It does. And the interesting thing is that even if he makes a bad decision, and in my estimation, some decisions have not been made that would be right, but God blesses both decisions too. And so if I submit to his headship, then God blesses his decision, whether or not it maybe was the smartest decision for us to make as a family.
I'm so happy to hear you say this, because I think this feminist movement is just being overblown, and what it's doing to a lot of our men, our young men coming up, teenagers and young men, it's making wimps out of them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so happy to hear you say this. What about vocations? Now, you've got some children that are getting into teenage. Can parents decide the vocations of their children, or how do you guide your children looking forward to their future vocation?
Well, first of all, parents can't decide what their child's vocation is, but they have to help their children hear the voice of God to know what their vocation is. We should talk to them about the priesthood, the sisterhood, and also talk to them about married life. We talk by our actions about married life almost every day, but also just what that commitment means in marriage. Yeah, I would say that that, you know, we have a responsibility to help them discern their vocation. But you shouldn't try to push your child into a certain vocation, we don't believe. That can be detrimental.
God calls our children to do what He wants them to do. And what we want to do is to try to prepare our children to quiet themselves so that they can hear the voice of God calling to them. And they do that at a very young age by listening to our voice calling them to do specific things and to certain tasks. But then as they grow older, then they're called to do what God asks them to do.
Now, they're a relatively young couple yet. You already have a very large family. Do you pray that God would call one of your children to the priesthood or religious life?
I don't think we have a specific prayer.
I do.
Well, that they would be called. I think we would be very, very pleased to have any or all of our children join religious communities.
You know, I think parents, you know, Jesus said, pray you the Lord of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
We know the calling has to come from Jesus. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you. But I think parents ought to and can pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to accept what God's will is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But what were you going to say, Ken?
Well, I hope and pray that one of our children will answer the call. You know, we have six sons, so I'd say the odds are with us. At least I hope the odds are with us.
But see, there's a call to the marriage life, too. See, that's a call in itself. And sometimes, I think Tim and I both looked into religious lives before we felt called to the married
mm-hmm.
life. And sometimes God asks you to carry the harder cross. And for Tim to become a priest, for me to become a sister, maybe would have been the easier way for us to live this life. And that, you know, God always calls us to embrace what He wants. And
you know, I come from a family of eight children, and my mother never told me till after I was ordained. My dad died when I was about a year old. She did not tell me until I was ordained that she and her husband had always prayed that one of their sons would be a priest. And I have a brother who has the son of a priest. And when it came to the eve of my nephew being ordained a priest, his parents told me the same thing. From the time they were a young married couple, they prayed for a priest or a religious in their family. Now, there is a tendency today among some very good conservative Catholic couples to do something, get into homeschooling, you know, isolate your children. And I just come back from Australia. This is going to be seen in Australia, by the way. And I come across, I just got stampeded by a herd of kangaroos. But then I came across this beautiful mother kangaroo with a little one jumping in the pouch, jumping out. And sometimes his feet were sticking out. Mother didn't seem to care. And the mother left me pet it. And then this little kangaroo, I just wanted to take it up and cuddle it and pet it. And I was told, oh, don't touch it. It'll leave a human scent. And then the mother will disown it. And I got to think, there must be a lesson to this. Can you help me? What would be the lesson?
Well, one thing that we talk about often is insulating our children. And a lot of people are afraid that Catholics who are trying to live authentic Catholic lives are isolating their children too much. And we look at it as an insulation. And being from the north, people know what it's like to have to insulate things. And why do we insulate? We insulate so we can protect what we have so it can go out into the elements that we have up north and still function and still do what it's supposed to do. And so with your kangaroo, you know, that mother was insulating that little Joey from you and keeping that. And that's what we try to do with our children. We try to teach them that these are things that are out in the world and teach them about how God wants them to live their life and then get them ready to go out and to be leaders in the world.
Plus, as Christians, we're supposed to let our light shine before men, it says. So we don't want to isolate ourselves or to give our children the impression that they have to isolate themselves from the world.
See, you're in homeschooling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is the criticism. You know, there are millions in homeschooling now.
Mm-hmm.
And people are becoming more aware that at first they used to think, you know, something was wrong with you if you homeschool. But the criticism that I hear the most, oh, you're isolating your children, they're not going to develop socially. What do you think?
Well, our children learn their social skills from us as parents. And as you know, working with a large group of people, it doesn't matter if the child has been put into a parochial school or public school or homeschool. If the parents are not people who are reaching out, the children will not be people to reach out. So that whole argument of isolation doesn't have to do with that. I do think it's important for people who are homeschooling to have different channels where they can get involved. And that's one place where the Fatima Family Apostolate is so good, because the kids come together, especially at the Congress. Our children have made lifetime friends at the Congresses, and they write to each other. They've gone on pilgrimages together with these other children. And that sort of thing, you need as a parent to reach out for your children when you're pulling them from a situation where they would naturally meet other people.
Yes. You know, in youth pilgrimages, which I no longer conduct, last year I conducted all family mm-hmm. pilgrimage for 2 weeks to Fatima. I used to take the young people, teenagers, young adults there. But in the more recent years, it got to at least one-third of the youth group came from homes and homeschooling. And I could tell by the second day which of those young people were in homeschooling. They were better disciplined. They immediately knew why I was there, what I was trying to do. And the others, it took them a week or so to find out that, you know, this guy wasn't from another planet, this priest. But you're in homeschooling. Why did you go to homeschooling?
Well, first of all, there were some things being taught in the public school that we didn't agree with, some of the values, clarification classes that we thought were confusing the young people. And there wasn't a good Catholic school nearby. We felt it was our only option, was to try homeschooling. We had heard of other people doing it, and even though it sounded radical, we decided to jump in and give it a try.
We've never had a personal conflict with public schools or parochial schools, and we know a lot of very strong Catholic families that have their children enrolled in public and parochial schools, and it's not that it's impossible to do that, but for our situation, it worked out best for us to homeschool our children.
We're not saying that everyone should homeschool, that it probably isn't the right thing for everyone.
But aren't most of the parents in homeschooling, because of the values, the false values they're picking up in school, sometimes by the teachers and sometimes by the other students? Isn't this
the
reason?
Oh, yeah, I'd say basically. And the contradictions to the faith that you're trying to teach your children, to pass on to them, they put up with these contradictions every day in a school situation oftentimes. And the peer pressure, the stuff they pick up from their peers, a lot of times you don't want them picking that up.
We want to grow these leaders for God. See, God's
yes.
placed these children in our care so that they will be leaders in the future. And if you look at other history, you know, back in history, the leaders were more isolated. They were tutored. They were
mm-hmm.
kept from big groups. And so that in itself is something that that helps the children to be able to stand out and yet not to have this attitude that they're out there and they're untouchable, so to speak, and the
yeah.
people shouldn't be near them. It's something that they're there to help bring other people to Jesus.
I've been so very happy that the homeschool center, some of them are using some of our very tools of the Fatima Family Apostolic, Saints and Heroes Speak,
mm-hmm.
to distribute that across the United States, and I'm very, very happy that. But one of the problems that parents have been telling me they run into in homeschoolers, when it comes to the sacraments, well, your child cannot receive First Holy Communion or cannot receive confirmation because it did not take our parish courses, and then maybe the textbooks they're using, they know, are not doctrinally sound, or what are being taught in their local programs are not according to the church. What do parents do in a case like that?
That's something that we have had some difficulties with ourselves, and so do you have something that you could comment and make us, you know,
okay.
let us know what maybe a good answer would be?
Well, you know, just last month, a roundtable discussion of homeschoolers from across the entire United States met in Chicago. And this was a main point that they took up, and they wrote me and asked me, will you put it in your magazine? Mm. And the fact is, the official teaching of the church is that the parents are the primary educators and also in giving formation to the children. They are the primary educators. And nobody in any parish or diocese has the right to tell a parent, I'm going to instruct your child for you. Now, a bishop, a pastor, has the right to question or interrogate the child to see if they're really ready for First Holy Communion, if they're ready for confession. They have the right to do that. But they have no right to say they have to come to our programs. And they're trying to get this publicized across the United States and wherever, that pastors better obey this teaching of the church. So all that I can say, if any of you who are in homeschooling and you're in a parish where they're saying you've got to come for 2 years to our program before they can receive confirmation or they can make their first Holy Communion, well, confession, just take them to another priest in another parish and let them make their first confession. But they have no right to take away the duty of the parents and educating the children. They have a right to check to see whether you're doing it right. Mm-hmm. Does that sound reasonable?
Well, it does, and I think one thing people don't realize is when you're homeschooling, your children stay a part of your family unit, and they mature much quicker than children that are placed into group settings to learn and to be educated. And so a lot of times these children are ready for the sacraments at earlier ages. They know about the real presence. They understand. Our little James at 4 years old said, when can I receive the hidden Jesus? And I said, oh, honey, yes, you have to wait, you know. And so it is a burden for parents to know when they know their child is ready to make that adult commitment.
I've had more than one parent come to me, and the parents in homeschooling, child is 6 years old, and they feel that they have offended our Lord, and I have to wait a year or two before I can make my first confession.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, would you let our little boy or little girl go to confession? I said, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had them come in and do better than when they went through a whole CCD course mm-hmm. for 2 years. And the parents are the primary educators. Sometimes I think this might be one of the reasons why we're having a shortage in Religious Vocation Day and shortage in the priesthood, to get parents back to realize that they've got to do it. Well, now, you know, it's always a challenge. It's always been a challenge as children get older and they get in the teenage and a transition from childhood to adulthood, and you've got some of yours now in that teenage. Well, how do you handle that?
I think when you start out with young children, you need to respect the person of that young child. Right? Again, remembering that that's God's child that you're raising.
Mm.
And then as they get older, that respect just builds and grows, and you realize that the child realizes that he has an active part in the family too,
mm-hmm.
and that he is helping you to heaven as much as you're helping him to heaven. And so that responsibility is shared. And when they're asking questions about dating, when they're asking questions about going to places where maybe there will be occasions of sin, you need to discuss that with them openly, honestly, say why these things are dangerous for your soul.
I would say even before they ask the question, mm-hmm. you should bring up those subjects about dating and whatever. And again, keep those lines of communication open with your older children. They want to exert their independence, and that's a natural thing, and it's a good thing.
You want them to.
But you have to keep communicating with them and trying to channel them from making some serious mistakes in life.
You know, we have the next couple programs going to be a couple just a little older than you, where the mother has written girls y'all help, and they understand. Mary, you're working with her now on disciplining the children. Maybe, you know, let the husbands have a share in those insights, too. We want to put out a pamphlet on disciplining the children.
I think that's real important because we have to remember that we are not doing something foreign when we discipline our children. When we're disciplining our children, we're just teaching them and living just like God the Father does with us. We're being an example of God the Father in our own, in their lives. And when we discipline them, we're not doing anything more than what God does for us.
But see, the real crisis today, the crisis of faith, it's come from a crisis of authority, not respecting authority. Mm-hmm. We have this in the church, and this is all the way down now to the parents, mm-hmm. not wanting to discipline the children. Is this what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
A false connotation of what is love.
Most right. definitely. It is not love. And again, if you can't accept discipline, if Tim can't accept discipline and the authority of the church, I can't accept his authority if our children can't accept our authority, then it just goes down the line. But eventually it comes back to, are we going to, as adults, accept God's authority in our life? That our lives are not our own, but they're God's.
Well, wonder if one of these years, one of your children come and say, I think I have a religious vocation. And they're thinking about this seminary or this particular community. Would you give them guidance on what community or seminary they might try to get into?
Oh, definitely. Because in the United States today, there are so many seminaries and convents and houses of religious that have swayed and strayed from the Holy Father in the Magisterium of the Church. Annunciation House has been started to help with that, and it has an authentic a group of places parents can write to and get addresses from, and girls and
yeah, I think in Chicago they have a religious Institute of Religious Life.
Exactly.
Which are the ones that they can trust.
Exactly, and you need to head them in those directions. But you know, Father, even when they're little, our children just getting to know you mm-hmm. has been a step toward them growing toward a priestly vocation. Them getting to know the sisters in Mitchell, you know, living with them, seeing what they're doing, seeing a joy in their lives has led them to those. So I think parents need to seek out those religious that are devout and are living according to the Magisterium, and then bring their children to them just to be with them, to have dinner with them, to have pizza with them.
Yeah, it is very important for them. But you know, a lot of parents, they almost hold the religious or the priest back, you know. You know, that's a difficulty for me as a priest to relate to certain people. If they, you know, hold back from you, and I can relate to people if they will relate to me. Mm-hmm. And so it is very important that you feel at home and comfortable when you meet a priest or meet a religious, and your children are going to pick this up, right? Mm-hmm.
The Holy Father, too, has this fatherly love that comes out everywhere. And when we were in Poland, we noticed it with the bishops and with the priests. They have this fatherly love toward their parishioners, and their parishioners return it to them. And I think in the United States, if our priests would open themselves up, I think they have it, they just need to open themselves up to it. And the people need to respond to that we are one family, and we need to act as one family.
You said some priests are not acting that way, the way they should. What can lay people get the priests to act that way? What can they do?
Well, I think, first of all, you don't want to be saying negative things about the religious priests, sisters around your children. After Mass, you should take time to talk to your priest or to comment on his homily, those sort of things.
We always, before Mass, we'll try to go through the readings with our children and kind of formulate, now, what kind of a homily would you give, type thing. and then after Mass, we talk about what homily Father gave, and then I'll tell Father, you know, afterwards, I'll say, Father Schaefer, the children really liked this point, but thought you could have done this a little different. And he gets a charge.
And then they're really going to be laughing when they come on Sunday.
Well, they do pay attention better. But I think to really welcome the priests into your family unit. When you have something that's concerning you, a decision to make, to go to him openly and saying, Father, you know, what do you think we should do in this crisis? And then listen to what he says.
You know, I'm glad you brought up this point of having joy in your Holy Catholic faith in the home and not being negative. You know, if every time you get an opportunity, this priest or sister or this church issue, and that's dragged out in the open in front of the children, well, how are they ever going to identify with the church? Mm-hmm. And I'm part of the Work of the Holy Angels movement. And they said, yeah, the devil likes that. Mm. When you're always hanging out the dirty linens and talking about every scandal, when it's not typical of the average priest or religious, what harm, you know, is being done to the church?
And when things like that come into our family, we pray about them. We pray immediately about situations that happen like that and priests that we know are troubled or sisters. And I think also asking the intercession of priests and nuns that we know that have left and are in heaven. I think that's so powerful.
Do you point out to your children about how to watch the media, or don't you have television?
We have all the modern conveniences of the day, and we don't see them as evil. We see them as tools that the children can learn and we can learn from and we enjoy.
Do you talk to them about, you know, this is anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, this
definitely.
Media?
And they notice it themselves. They'll pick up a newspaper and they'll say, look at this, isn't this sad? Or, mm-hmm. or I wonder if the Holy Father really said these words type mm-hmm. things. They'll say things.
How do you think parents should help their children discern their vocation?
I think, again, it comes back to prayer, to being in tune to your child. I think those are the two biggest.
Yeah, talking to them is very important, too.
And, you know, the guardian angel is very important.
Sure.
Definitely.
The guardian angel knows our vocation long before we do.
Mm.
And the guardian angel is trying to get that message across. And do you ever pray to the guardian angels of your children?
Always. As a matter of fact, our the guardian angels of our parents are here with us today.
Oh, God love you. And thank you, and God bless you.
This has been Fatima and the Family. For more information, contact the Immaculate Heart Messenger magazine at 1-800-721-MARY. And please join us again next time for Fatima and the Family here on EWTN, Global Catholic Radio.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.